Yeah, so we launched in early March a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. So that's a mouthful. But what that means is we basically took 821 people, and they were randomly assigned between a placebo group and hydroxychloroquine. And so we tested 5 days of hydroxychloroquine to see if that could prevent infection after someone was exposed. And so this was a double-blind trial. So importantly, the participants didn't know what they received, nor did the investigators. The researchers, we didn't know what they received initially either. And we basically looked and see, did they develop a symptomatic COVID-19 illness within the next 2 weeks? And so what the trial showed is, unfortunately, that the hydroxychloroquine did not have a preventative effect. And so that it was basically approximately 12% of the people with hydroxychloroquine got COVID, and 14% in the placebo group. And that was not a statistical difference. And if you ignore the statistics, just mathematically, that would relate to you'd have to treat 42 people to prevent one infection. And so that's not really an effective medicine.
Can you talk a little bit about why, I'm just going to say hydro, because if I try to say the whole word every time, I'll mess it up. But tell me, why was hydro being considered or tested in the first place?
Yeah, so we knew that hydroxychloroquine had, and chloroquine as well, as similar sort of, both of these are antimalarial drugs, but they've had weird sort of off-target antiviral properties, at least in lab studies. And so for a number of viruses in the lab setting, they sort of interfere with the virus production. And so that was shown with the initial SARS virus and also with the new COVID-2 SARS virus causing the COVID-19. And so what does that actually mean? So basically this is in a petri dish, sort of in a cell culture, and they actually use like Afrin green monkey kidney cells or what they try to grow the virus in. And so in that situation, there's an antiviral effect, and this is a standard sort of screening tool that's used for lab studies for antiviral compounds. But the question is, well, does that actually work in humans? And so going from a lab study to actually does it work in humans, that's a big leap. And so, you know, normally this would take years. You'd kind of go incrementally and sort of through various models. But because hydroxychloroquine is an available medicine, it's inexpensive. It has a fairly good safety profile when used at the appropriate dose and the appropriate duration, the appropriate population. We wanted to launch a randomized trial to figure out, does this actually work or not? And we want to focus on prevention, because prevention is how you would stop transmission of disease.
So with this particular test coming out, is it sort of back to the drawing board looking for something else? Or are there other tests being conducted by other organizations that could potentially prove something different?
Well, I think as far as post-exposure prophylaxis, we're fairly confident in our results. We conducted a high-quality trial, and the results are fairly conclusive. There are other trials ongoing, and so those, I think, are very useful. I think in science in general, it's important to have replication and reproducibility. So if the next trial comes along and shows exactly the same thing, that, you know, reinforces the results. Conversely, maybe it's a slightly different population or slightly different, and they find something different, and then you can try to tease out what the differences are between the population we enrolled and a different trial. But, you know, based on our results, I would expect that other trials will find something very similarly.
Obviously. Go ahead. Sorry, doctor.
But this is really for post-exposure prophylaxis. So can you be exposed after, you know, do you develop infection if you start the medicine after you're already exposed? Something slightly different is pre-exposure prophylaxis. So if you take the medicine before you become exposed, does that prevent infection? And there are different trials looking at that question. Our team is one of many looking at that question. And so that may be a slightly different issue. Because I think the take-home point is, does this work at all? Like, maybe the hydroxychloroquine doesn't work. Alternatively, it's maybe we just didn't get to the people fast enough, that waiting a day or waiting 2 days was too long. We enrolled people within the first 4 days after their exposure, where the average incubation period is just over 5 days. But maybe you have to be taking the medicine even before you're exposed for it to work. And so it's not totally closing the door on the medicine. But at least for prevention, that there's no data, and this is pretty strong data, that it doesn't work at least after one is exposed to someone with coronavirus.
Obviously, hydro is something that the president speculated would perhaps be something that could be something taken to for prevention. And so I imagine that there are people out there who are taking it, or in fact, I remember at one point, I believe even the president himself was taking it. So would you have, based on these trials, any particular recommendation or advice for people that are taking this to try to be a preventative measure?
Well, we would suggest that our data shows that it does not work. And so fortunately, the vast majority of the participants in our trial didn't actually develop infection. And so, you know, over 85% of people didn't develop infection even after they were exposed to someone with coronavirus. But some people did. But taking the hydroxychloroquine is not going to decrease that risk, unfortunately.
All right. Great information, doctor. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think, I mean, you know, when you look at, was it safe? So there was a lot of hyped, you know, hysteria about this is a dangerous drug, even though it's been used for 65 years. You know, we use sort of normal dosing within the normal FDA-approved dosing range. There certainly were side effects. The majority of those were sort of gastrointestinal, you know, GI side effects in nature, so nausea, upset stomach, diarrhea. But overall, 40% of people had some side effect. You know, they're mostly mild, but there weren't any serious side effects that resulted in hospitalizations. There were no reported abnormal heart rhythms or things like that in this population. So it was a fairly safe medicine, but there were, you know, side effects. And so it's something that if there's no benefit, but there are side effects, then this is not a medicine that really should be used in this role as a preventative therapy.